Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Worship is not what we sing or say. It involves what we bring to God. In short, worship always involves sacrifice. Today, the second of two messages on how to adore God, and a close look at what the sacrifices of worship are all about. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Romans chapter 12 as we begin today's message. Erwin Lutzer will take us on a journey through seven verbs that describe what real worship means.
Let me simply say that everyone worships. The question is not whether you will worship. The question is, which God will you choose to worship? Even atheists worship. They may worship themselves, they may worship their own lives, they may worship this moment of time, they may worship pleasure, but everyone worships because we are created as worshipful, worshiping human beings. Well, as you know, this is the second message in a series of two on the subject of worship, on how to adore God. And today we're going to get very specific. But first of all, let me remind you how far we have come. We learned last time that, first of all, worship cannot be reduced to a matter of words. You can't say that you have worshiped just because you have come to church and because you have sung good songs. That in itself does not mean that you have worshiped. We hope that you have. I hope that I have. But it's not automatic. Jesus, you remember, said that these people, they honor me with their lips. They are singing the right songs, but their heart is far from me, he says. So it's not just a matter of words. Secondly, worship is not just a matter of, of place. It isn't simply a matter of saying that we've been to church and therefore we have worshiped. It might happen in church, but then again, it might not. And of course, as we learned last time, it's possible to worship anywhere. Those who worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John Wesley said on one occasion that he was riding a horse, he said, and he got off the horse and went to a part of the forest. And I mentioned it was John Wesley. Actually, it was Jonathan Edwards. And he said that while he was there alone in the forest, he had such a revelation of Jesus Christ, such a sense of the nearness of God, he said, that he was overwhelmed by it. And so you can worship God anywhere. Now, we intend that it happen at a place in a church service, but there's no guarantees. Now, today we're going to learn something else about worship. And that is that worship always is costly. Worship always involves an offering. It involves sacrifice. Almost everywhere where the idea of worship occurs in the scriptures, it talks about what we bring to God. So worship cannot possibly be a matter of words, because if God is our all-satisfying object, if He is the unifying principle of our lives, if God is the one whom we adore, who becomes now the centrifugal force and drives all that we are and do, how can we possibly think that worship can be done cheaply? It cannot be. What I'd like to do in the next few moments is to show us what worship does cost. And in order to do this, rather than preaching on one particular text, though we shall arrive at a text and stay there for a while, I would like us to simply go through the New Testament for a moment and show the passages of Scripture that talk about worship, that talk about that which is acceptable to God, and we will see that always being acceptable to God and pleasing Him in worship and service is of necessity costly, because after all, He is God and demands our all. And in order to do this in a way that hopefully we'll be able to understand, I'd like to give you seven verbs. Do you remember what a verb is? I think you do. It's an action word. But now I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to take a little tour for the next few moments, and beginning in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and you can follow along. I do not have these marked in my Bible, so I have to find them just like you do. Notice Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm reading from the New American Translation, the NASB, American Standard Translation. The first verb is yielding. That's what worship involves. Notice Paul says, in light of all that has gone on, he's talking about the sovereignty of God, the inscrutable ways of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by these mercies, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. What Paul is saying here is that either the world is going to transform us or God is going to transform us. And he uses the imagery of the Old Testament where the lamb was put on the altar. And once that lamb was dead there on the altar, the lamb had no more plans of his own. Now, Paul says in the very same way, he says we should be living sacrifices. Not corpses. God does not want us dead as long as we are alive. But we should be having the same dedication as the lamb. We should be placed there just as the lamb, and we should be able to say, God, I have no more plans of my own. Here I am. I am yours completely. Everything that is of me is on the altar. What is it that God wants specifically? You'll notice our bodies. I present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we give our bodies to God. Also, he wants our minds. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do not allow the world to push us into its mold because we begin to think God thoughts through our meditation in the Word, through thinking about Scripture that we have read, by receiving the promises, you see. God wants my body, God wants my mind, God also wants my emotions. A little later on in this chapter, Paul says in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now think this through. If worship means yielding, and he says this is your spiritual sacrifice of worship, how can it be that God somehow has a part of us, but not all of us, and does not have our emotions too? Worship involves emotions. Worship involves gladness in the presence of God. Sometimes it is sorrow in the presence of God. But remember, worship is all that we are in God's presence, and therefore the affective part of us, that is to say, the emotional part of us, the feeling part of us, is part of the worship experience. People go to Cub games, and for strange reasons that have never been explained to me, they think that it should be an emotional experience. In fact, when you look at them, you can see that it is. And that's fine. But we get to church and we think it's wrong to feel. No, it's not wrong to feel. It's right to feel. Our emotions also are energized by the Spirit of God. All of us, body, soul, spirit, will, emotions, that's what we offer to God. And the Bible says that is our spiritual act of worship. Now, you have to understand where this message is going. It is going somewhere. We're going to be talking about our worship service in a moment. But you see, if we're not doing these other acts of worship, our worship when we get to church is going to be somewhat shallow and hypocritical. So first of all, there is yielding. Second verb, there is serving. Serving. Now, We're in the book of Romans. Look at chapter 14. Actually, in my Bible, it's almost on the same page. Chapter 14, you'll notice what he says in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. You say, well, where's the worship? Actually, in Greek, that word serves, lutreo, really means to offer homage. What he's saying is that if you serve others with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and there are the emotions again, he says that then we are doing God homage. We are doing that which is, look at the text, acceptable to God. Don't you see how this transforms your daily life and your vocation? Remember when Elizabeth Elliot was here a number of years ago and told that story that I shall never forget? For 2 years, she took one of the primitive languages and broke them down into writing. She had to go through all of the different words and the verb forms and everything with an informant. And when it was over, they had no Xerox machines in those days. She had all of her research that was to be used for the translation of the New Testament in a suitcase. And the suitcase was stolen. And they looked everywhere for the suitcase and could never find it. 2 years of work gone. And someone said to her, were you not angry with God that you would work for 2 years and then it would be gone? And she said, that never occurred to me because, she said, those years that I was doing that, that was my worship to God. That was my service to God. Those years of work were done for God, not for men. So you can steal the suitcase, but you'll never steal the work. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. What a wonderful philosophy of life it is when you do everything for God, and that can't be lost, even as Elizabeth Elliot emphasized. The work that you have done may not be recognized by anyone, you may not be thanked. It may be done in obscurity, but if it is done for God, it is never lost. The Bible says that God establishes our works. That means that everything that we have done, a cup of cold water given in His name, will not lose our reward. You know, Martin Luther made the statement that when a father changes the diapers of a baby, God is pleased. Not because the child is clean, though that may be important too, but God is pleased because the father is a priest before God. He is doing it for God's glory, and as a result, that's a sacrifice with which God is well pleased. That's known, of course, as the priesthood of the believer, that no matter what we do, whether or not in service that is recognized or unrecognized, at the end of the day, our hearts belong to God.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing part two of How to Adore God. Next time, more on how to give of our time, our talents, and our treasure. This brief series on worshiping God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how to adore God. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.